Look with me in the book of John, the Gospel of John,
in that very last chapter, chapter number 21, and we'll look at something there that we've seen several times, but maybe we can think about a little bit differently this evening, if you will. John chapter number 21, and I want you to look down about verse number 15. Now, we know a lot of the first part of this chapter and how that the disciples are a little bit on a trajectory of, I don't know what to do next. You know, they're kind of don't know. The Lord's died and resurrected, and some things have happened, and they're still not sure about what all of this means. So look there in chapter number 21, I'm sorry, at verse 15. And it said, when they had dined. Now this is after they've been out in the boat and they didn't catch any fish, and then somebody on the shore said, hey, cast your net on the right side. They had all that big bunch of fishes, 153. And it said, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your word. And I pray now you just add your blessings to the preaching of it, everything that we do tonight. May it be done to honor the Lord Jesus and give you praise and worship. And we'll thank you for that. And I pray, burden our heart for lost folks. Help us to see them as they really are, needing a shepherd. And your compassion goes out toward them. You love them. Help us to see that now. And Lord, we'll praise you. Save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want us to look at this set of scriptures one more time. And as I said, we've looked at it several times before, and we all know the story. I mean, you know the story, how that Peter, in the beginning of the story, he doesn't know what to do. And, of course, Peter, he may not know what to do, but he's going to do something. Amen? I mean, Peter is so just kind of on the edge and impetuous, and he's like, man, something's got to be done, so I'm going to do something. So he looks at his buddies as they're there waiting and not really knowing what's going on, and he said, I'm going fishing. And so a bunch of them look at him, and they say, sounds good to us. We're going with you. So you know the story of how they got out there in the water, and again, they fished all night, and they didn't catch anything. And at the end of that night, as the morning began to break, the Bible said there was somebody standing there on the shore, and it was Jesus, but they didn't know it was Jesus. And then it says there in verse number 5 of this chapter, then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? In other words, have you caught anything? And all they can do is answer and say, nope, ain't caught a thing. So he looks at them, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, the writer of this gospel, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, did cast himself into the sea, and everybody begins to come to shore. When they get to shore, Jesus has something prepared for them, and he looks at them and he says, "Come and dine. Come and dine." So they do. They come and take part of the food that Jesus has got there, and he says, the writer here in verse 14, he says, "Now this is the third time that Jesus has showed himself to the disciples after that he has risen from the dead." Okay, now, you know, we got the picture. We got the scene. I think in looking at all of this, there's something that's still with Peter and Jesus, something a little awkward is going on. Amen? You ever been in a place where you have said something, you have offended somebody, or you have misspoken, and maybe they weren't supposed to hear it, and they did hear it, and then it becomes a thing, you know? It's like you're, I don't know what to say when I'm around them. And you remember what Peter has done in the time past, right? When Jesus is arrested, before he goes to Pilate, and they take him into the hall there to be tried, Peter before that has come up to him and he said, "Lord, why, I'm going with you all the way. I'll be there, boy. I mean, all this other crowd might not, but I'm going to be right there." Jesus looks at him and says, "Peter," he said, "this night, before this night's finished, you're going to deny me three times." And you know how that Peter is outside the place where they've got Jesus, and people begin to recognize him. They say, "Hey, you're with them, aren't you? You're one of them." "No, not me." And if you remember, he denies Jesus three times. Now, I want you to realize Jesus is putting Peter into a place right here where Peter has made that a public declaration of a defamatory remark, if you will. "I don't know him." And he did it three times. But I'm glad for this. I'm thankful that even though Peter did what he did, and he did it in a public setting, and, you know, when you begin to think about that, we know what Peter did, right? Peter, it talks about after he'd done it, he went out, and he thought on all this stuff, and he sat down. And the Bible says what? That he wept bitterly. He sat down, he cried his eyes out because he's denied the Lord. Have you ever done anything like that to hurt Jesus in your life? I mean, we probably all have something. We said something, and there's a crowd there and said, "I thought you was a Christian," you know, and they look at you, and you've done messed up and goofed up right out there in front of the world, right? But I'm glad here that Jesus takes this opportunity. Now, you remember, this is maybe not all of the disciples, but there's several here with Peter. And the Lord takes this time and says, "We're going to make this public defamation that you've done, this public announcement that you made about you didn't know me." And now Jesus said, "We're going to make that up, and we're going to have a public restoration." This is going to be a time of public restoration. Jesus is about to restore the fellowship with his friend. I want to tell you something. Jesus never stops being your friend. I mean, it don't matter what you do. Guess what? We all mess up. Amen? Yeah, hey, we mess up all the time. Aren't you glad he doesn't just kick you to the curb? I mean, he doesn't say, "Hey, you ain't no friend of mine no more. I don't know you. I don't want anything to do." No, he's there to take us back. So I want you to see tonight in this little reading with me, if you will, and we'll look at it, and we'll look at three little lessons that I want you to see out of this text of Scripture. I mean, here's this public humiliation. Here's this public restoration and reconciliation between Jesus and Peter, and You know, he's doing that for some reasons. One being that he loves Peter. Amen? I mean, he loves Peter. He loves him. And he's wanting to get him back into a place. If you've ever been in that situation, as I say, you don't know where you stand, and you're not sure, why am I going to be okay? Is it okay if I do anything? I mean, I don't know what to do from here on out. But Jesus is trying to get Peter back into the place where he realizes who he is and what he is and what's going to happen in his life, and get into that. But not only does he do it for Peter, he does it for all them other guys around Peter there too. All of those other disciples, you know why he does that? It's so that they know, when they hear what Peter's about to say, that they know that Peter has repented, that Peter has gotten things right between him and Jesus, that all is well between heaven and Peter. Peter's in the right circumstance. And you know what? They needed to hear that. You know why they need to hear that? Because it helped them understand when God brought Peter out in Acts chapter number 2 as the leader of this new body called the church. I mean, they had to get behind him. And if they're going to get behind him, they got to know, hey, we heard him testify. We heard him say that he loved Jesus. We heard him say all of these things that he said. And we know that he can be that man because of what he's done. So, you know, sometimes they needed to hear it. And let me tell you, a third thing, we needed to hear it. You and I needed to hear that Peter, that Jesus said, look, Peter, I love you, and I want to ask you, do you love me? I mean, I just want to ask you, Peter, where's this thing stand between me and you? How's this thing worked out? How are you doing with what's happened? And Peter says, you hear him three times. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. I love you. I love you. I love, thank God. Isn't that good to hear, amen, that somebody loves you? I mean, what if that lady up there had to beg me, say, now look, do you love me? She don't have to. I'm going to tell her anyway. Say amen right there to some of you guys and gals. Right? I mean, you ought to. You ought to say, hey, I love you. Amen. Amen. I mean, your wife or your husband. Don't pick out somebody else's, okay? But anyway, here's that you're in that situation. So the first lesson, though, the first lesson I think that you and I can get out of this is, remember this: if you have ever fallen, you can get back up. If you ever have fallen, you can get back up. Amen. Hey, the Bible talks about that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but thank God he can get right back up. Amen. I'm telling you, you can fall, you can mess up, and guess what? You probably will this week. There'll be something coming along, and you'll make a mess somewhere in some way, whether it's a real public thing, or if it's even just a little private thing, or if it's just a small known thing to your heart, that you're going to mess up. Amen? And I just want you to remember, if you do fall, hey, thank God the falling can get back up. Let me just tell you something. Greater people than me and you have fallen before. Amen. I mean, you just consider a few, but think about them. I'm telling you, Adam and Eve messed up royally, didn't they? I mean, perfect place, perfect life, everything there for them, and they messed that up. I mean, but aren't you glad when you read over in your Bible that the Bible says in the cool of the evening, God came by like he did every other day, and he said, Adam, wherefore art thou? Where are you, Adam? And, oh, Adam's over here hid behind some bushes or behind some tree limbs or whatever it is. And the Lord said, where are you, Adam? God knew where he was, but he asked him, and Adam said, well, we're hidden. Well, what are you hiding for? We're naked. Who told you he was naked? Well, guess what happened? Yeah, guess what happened? We messed up. And they sure did, didn't they? Amen. The typical story. God said, who told you he was naked? Well, we've eaten that tree. He said, well, really, that woman that you gave me, she made me do it. Somebody say amen. The ladies, y'all feel like that sometimes? She does. It wasn't me. I'm her. Amen. That's a good scapegoat. If you got kids, that's always good too. How have they done it? Huh? And listen, and then what she do? The serpent beguiled me. It ain't my fault. It is all the way back on him. Amen. And I know there's some truth in it, but what I want you to realize is, hey, you can fall. You can fall in a hurry. You can make a mess in a hurry. And aren't you glad? You know what God did? God took care of Adam and Eve, even in the time when they fell. He made them skins of coats of the animal skin, and he clothed them with that. And then he put them in the garden. There were some consequences to it, but God was there for that fall. You know the story of David. We've been reading that. David fell in all his sin. But you know what? God forgave him. God forgave him. You remember Nathan telling him? He said, you're not going to die. God's hurt you. God, no. But he said, the sword's not going to leave your house. And you know all the consequence that has come from that thus far. I mean, there's some great people throughout your Bible. I mean, David had a son named Solomon. Guess what? He fell. You know what brought him down? Women. Again, same thing brought daddy down, brought him down. There was another guy named Samson that was a judge of the people of Israel. Guess what brought him down? Women, just like it did these other guys. But God was with him, and God let him kill more Philistines in the day of his death and in the way of his death than he did the whole time that he's alive. So there is, I'm telling you, there's greater people than me and you that have fallen. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's not going to be the end of the road. It's not going to be the absolute worst thing. But sometimes you feel like it does. And maybe that's a good thing that we do feel like. But there's greater folks than me and you that have fallen. I'll tell you this also. When you fall and you can get back up, because you need to realize you still need to give up your old life. Don't you turn back. Don't give up. Thank God. Hey, you're saved and you need to go on. Even though you've fallen, get up and don't go back to your old life. Peter said, well, think I'll just go fishing. That's what we used to do. That's how we used to do it. That's what we was all involved in. That's the way it was. Hey, I've heard them fellas say, I might as well go back drinking liquor, and I might as well go back to camp. No, sir, get up and get back in this thing. Thank God, if you fail, get up, get back in the fight. Amen. Get up and get back in it. Amen. Don't you go back to your old ways. Don't go back to your old life. You've got a new life in Jesus Christ. Paul said, when any man's in Christ, he becomes a new creature. All the old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Thank God we've got victory in Jesus. Amen. So you don't have to go back, even though you've fallen. You don't have to go back and go back to that old life. Amen. Just give up on going back. Don't run back to it. Amen. I mean, you know, the Lord could have told Peter, quit fishing for fish and let's go back to what I called you to do. Fish for men. Amen. Be a fisher of men. And then I say this, even though you may have fallen, you need to get a clear view of the Lord. The Bible said they're out there in that boat. Somebody on the shore says, y'all caught anything? Nope, fished all night, ain't caught nothing. Cast your net out on the right side. They cast their net out on the right side. Then they can't pull it in hardly for the group of fish that they've caught. And John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. Peter, I don't know what Peter's thinking. He probably wasn't thinking. Probably think about Cocoa Puffs and Lucky Charms. Amen. I mean, he don't know what he's thinking. Amen. Well, he's a knothead like the rest of us guys. Somebody say amen right there. But, I mean, he did. You know, what's going on? Huh? But here he was in that boat, and then he realized that it was him. That's the Lord. So what did he do? He jumped in the water and started toward him. Get a clear vision of who the Lord really. Even though you fall down, get up and see him. He's still there. Look to him. Count on him. Be ready to run to him. Go back to the Lord. Amen. So that's the first little lesson. Even though you've fallen down, you can get back up. Amen. I mean, Peter's messed up. Let's just admit it. He's made a mistake in his life. He's messed up in what he's done, denying the Lord and the way he acted and even cursing the Lord. I mean, he messed up. And you know what? A lot of us won't write him off, wouldn't we? We'd say, well, that's about what I thought out of him. But aren't you glad the Lord doesn't do me and you that way? Amen. So if you've fallen, remember, you can get back up. Second of all, I want you to look at this and recognize this. Remember that there is a function for every one of us in this thing called the church. God's got a function for every one of us in this church. Jesus looks at Peter and he begins to talk to him. And I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting. I don't know if you've ever considered it or thought about it. But if you'll look here, if you look at it, what does Jesus call him? He calls him Simon every time. Why does he call him Simon? That's his old name, and that's the way he's acting in that old nature. And you know what? You'll do it sometimes too. I think it's real interesting in the Old Testament, especially with Jacob, when you look at him, and sometimes he's Jacob, because he's Jacobing all over the place. Amen. He's Jacobed in the morning, Jacobed in the evening, and Jacob at supper time. Amen. He done Jacobed all over. But then there's sometimes he's Israel. Amen. Because he's triumphed over the things of this world, and he's trusting in God. Well, I really think that it's the same situation here with Simon. When Simon's messed up, Jesus calls him Simon. Now, you know, I don't know how much to make of that, and I've studied on it some, but let me just tell you, I mean, here he goes back. Jesus has changed his name. You remember Matthew 16, and he says, "And I say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock." Well, right now, Peter ain't acting too much like a rock, is he? He's acting like he's crazy, dirt, you know, whatever, not like a rock. So Jesus starts calling him Simon. You hear what he says to him? He looks at him and he says, "Simon," he says, "son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Boy, isn't that interesting when you look at this, to think about the idea when Jesus says, "Simon, son of Jonas, you're still human, buddy. You're messing up because you're human. Son of John," he said, "lovest thou me." But isn't it interesting that he puts that little phrase in there, "more than these"? And there's a theologian after theologian has surmised and thought and wondered and pondered and pontificated on what that phrase means. More than these. More than these what? What does that mean, more than these? We're not told here in that. More than these. More than these men standing around here? More than them fish that you caught? More than these days out on that boat on the water? I mean, what's he talking about? We don't know. I'll just be real honest with you. Hey, it's all right every once in a while to say, "I don't know." Amen? Y'all go ahead and repeat that. "I don't know." Yeah, if you don't know, you don't know. We don't know. But it's real interesting that he said, "Do you love me more than these?" I don't know. Did he mean more than these other disciples? Did he mean more than those fish that he just dragged on shore? Did he mean more than that boat and that fishing life that he'd had before? I don't know. I don't know. All of those are interesting to ponder. But Jesus just asked him, "Do you love me?" And maybe it's all of that. Do you love me more than all this? Do you love me more than this world? You love me more than that stuff that brought you a life and a lifestyle before? Do you love me? Do you love me at all? Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a place. There's a place for every one of us. There is a function for every one of us in this thing called the church. And I want you to notice how the Lord kind of brings this idea out to him. First of all, You know, Jesus gets Peter to reaffirm his love for Jesus. Can I tell you, the best thing for us to do as a church is to stand up and say, preacher, I love Jesus. Amen. I mean, reaffirm your love for him. Somebody asks you about, you know, what's going on in your life. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I love Jesus more than anything. I love Jesus more than this, that, and the other. I love Jesus, amen. And reaffirm that. I mean, Jesus asked him three times, do you love? He said, Lord, you know that I love you, amen. Does he know that you love him? I'll guarantee you this, he certainly loves you. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world. And Jesus, it says, having loved his own, he went to the cross for us. I'm just telling you, we know of his love for us. And it never wavers. It never changes. It never moves. You need to reaffirm your love for him. Now, what's that got to do with functioning in the church? Well, let's look at another thing. First of all, if you're going to function in this church and realize your function, you got to love him. Why? Because secondly, you got a resolution. You need to make a resolution that you're going to supply and support the saints of God in this body. You see what Jesus said? You love me? And Peter said, well, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Asked him the second time, you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. The third time he said, do you love me? And Jesus looks at him and Peter's all tore up. Lord, you know everything, you know I love. And he says, well, feed my sheep. I mean, you've got a function in this body. There is something for you to do. If you love me, get busy doing what I've called you to do. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's what Peter has to hear. He has to say, look, Peter, you need to be resolved. You need to make your mind up. You need to get focused in on that you are going to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, tend to the flock, help out them babies, help out them saints, help out the whole church. Amen. That's what I've called you to do. Praise the Lord. That was his function in the church. Now, your function may not be maybe as broad or as wide-scoped as that, but you've got a function in this body. Amen? I mean, if you remember, Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians how that this body is all put together and it all works together, and we need every part of this body, and that means you. Amen? Sometimes I feel like I may be a little toe on the left foot, and it don't matter. Thank God he still needs me. Amen? Whatever it is that I do. I mean, God needs every one of us. So you need to get resolved. You're going to fill your spot. You're going to supply and shepherd and help with the body in whatever way God has for you as he's put you into this thing. You need to make up your mind. You've got a function. You know what people say sometimes? Oh, preacher, y'all won't miss me if I'm not there. Well, don't you believe that. I do miss you. We do need you. We need that one more voice in the choir. We need that one more knee bent in prayer. We need that one more person to smile and tell somebody, hello, it's a good day. We're glad you're here. I'm glad to see you. I just want to hug you. I mean, we need everybody that'll come and do those sort of things. Amen? I mean, you got a place. Well, mine ain't a big place. It don't have to be a big place. Amen. It don't have to be a loud place like me. You don't have to shout and carry on, slobber and jump up and down like I do. There's been times when we'd have the old-fashioned preacher's fellowship. And, you know, church, the service would be over with. Everybody shaking hands, fellowship, and whatever. And no doubt there'll be some dear men of God, and I mean that. They're great men of God. And they, some of them come up to me, and they'll look at you sometimes and say, well, preacher, I'm glad to be here. And, you know, they tell you a little bit about the Sam. If I've never met them, don't know. But they always throw this in. Now, I don't preach the way that you men do. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I'm not loud. I'm not emotional. I'm not shouting. And I say, fine with me. Guess what? We all don't have to act and do and be the same. Amen? Isn't that good? Amen. I used to, like every young preacher, I was going to try to preach like, you know, some of my heroes. I'd be around some guys and say, I want to preach like him. I want to preach like him. God didn't need two of them. All he needed was one. And guess what? He made one Steve Camp. And the bad news is y'all got him. Amen. I'm just saying, I'm here. But and look, ain't nobody else like me. And somebody said, amen. That's right. There ain't nobody like me. But I'm just telling you, that God has made us individually. God has made us specially. God has made us perfectly to fit into this body called the church. And he looked at Peter. And isn't it amazing? Jesus is leaving every other one of them dudes alone right now. All them other disciples. I mean, they're all followers of Jesus. They're all going to have part in this. They're all going to be part of that. They are part of the church. But he's talking to Peter right now. As a matter of fact, he tells that a little bit later on, doesn't he? Because Peter said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, don't you worry about him. I'll worry about him. You worry about you. Amen. Get your nose back in your own business. Amen. I mean, that's what he said. So you and I ought to be resolved that we're just going to find this place and we're going to do our function as supply, support, be what we're supposed to be in this body for the saints of God. And not only that, let me tell you this. Man, when you think about the function that you have, you just have to rest in the satisfaction that whatever Jesus says, he knows best for you. Jesus knows what's best for you. I mean, look here in verse number 17. It says that Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, listen what he says, lovest thou me? And he said, and listen what Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Boy, can I tell you, I don't know if Peter realized what he said, but he said a mouthful right there, didn't he? Lord, you know. You know all things. You know everything. And you and I have just got to rest in that fact. Well, preacher, God don't know what he's doing on calling on me to be this or that, a Sunday school teacher or a singer or a, you know, a leader or this or that. Yeah, he does. You just have to rest in the satisfaction that he knows what he's doing. Amen? I mean, he knows. Now, you and I might not think, I've heard numerous preachers, you have too, and say, God, you don't want me because I'm shy, I'm backwards, I'm uneducated, I'm unpolished, I just can't do this. But aren't you glad God said, yeah, I know what I'm doing, and I can take even you. I remember hearing stories, many stories about this, about Brother Lloyd Guffey. A lot of y'all know Brother Lloyd, and man, he couldn't read. I believe he was one of them third grade educated guys. He couldn't read. And he had to have his wife read the scriptures to him and sometimes for him. And I know the other day Brother Langston was telling the story about when he was a kid, the guy that pastored their church up there in Strawberry Plains up around Knoxville, that he said that guy couldn't even read a lick. And he would get his wife up there and tell her to read the scriptures and then he'd preach. Can I tell y'all, my daddy had a third grade education. And I can remember, and I've told y'all a lot of times when I was an old punky teenage kid and I knew everything and boy, I was sassy and, you know, whatever. And I remember my daddy sitting there pouring over his Bible. And I mean, just weeping those big old tears and looking at things. And he would come in there sometime. I was doing homework or whatever I was doing. He'd throw that big old black Bible down there and he said, can you tell me what this word is? And I said, sure. It was like, don't you know? And I would read it. He'd say, well, what does it mean? And I know there was some stuff in there that was difficult and hard to understand. And man, I'd do my best to try to help him. But, you know, I thought, hey, you're just a dumb old man. You don't know nothing. You ain't never been to school. But can I tell you something? When God come on the scene with him doing whatever he's doing up there behind that pulpit is a whole different story. He knew his place, and he knew his purpose, and he knew what God wanted out of him. And he rested in that satisfaction that he knew. I'll tell this little story, and it's just a favorite of mine. There's a church out on Highway 73, I think it is, on Sand Mountain, on top of Sand Mountain. Highway 73, going towards Higdon, Alabama. There's a church there that's called Mount Olive Baptist Church. After I pastored at Bryant, that's just down the road the other direction. Anyway, befriended people there and knew the pastor and whatever. And I told them one day, you know, who it was. And they said, Camp. They said, we know somebody named Camp. You remember anybody? And my daddy was supposed to be going to beyond Higdon, out to Rosalie, to preach for one of my uncles out there, Uncle Watson Williams. He's supposed to go out there and preach. They're driving down the highway. Daddy turns his blinker on, pulls in the parking lot of that church. Mama looks over at him and says, Carthel, what are you doing? She said, is there something wrong with the car? He said, nope. She said, what are we doing? He said, we're going to church. She said, well, it's that way, still about, you know, 15 mile or whatever it was, beyond it. He said, no, we're going to church right here. And she said, what are you talking about? He said, the Lord said, go here. She said, well, who do you know? He said, I don't know nobody. I don't know nothing about nobody in this church. But the Lord said, stop and go in the doors. Amen? And I'm, you know, I wasn't none of us with him, just him and mother. She's thinking, his marbles is getting loosened up here. Something's wrong, you know. So they go in the church, and there's an old pastor that's been there that had been there for years. His name was Igo, was his last name, Brother Igo. And I heard him tell stories about him. But anyway, they go in the church, and Daddy's looking around. Y'all know Daddy. He's shaking hands, smiling, greeting people, and talking to them. And he don't know nobody in church. He introduced himself. They introduced themselves. And one guy comes to him and says, are you a preacher by any chance? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I'm here, and I'm ready to preach. And that guy said, good. He said, our pastor got a call this morning, and he had to go to the hospital and see some, you know, situation, whatever it was. And he said, and we were just going to have to sit here and either testify, just sing, or whatever we was going to do, because we didn't have a preacher. He said, I'm here to help you. Woo! Huh? I mean, third grade education, but he sure did get a hold of heaven. Amen? I mean, I'm not bragging on him because I'm just, hey, isn't that something? See, that's God. I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about, oh, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so, and he's educated, and he's got, yeah, well, that's okay in its place. But I'm talking about you need to know what God wants. You rest in that. When you know what the Lord's doing in your life, you know that God has showed up in that place. Amen? I'm just telling you, ain't that a blessing? That's lesson number two. Let's look at one more real quickly. All right? Lesson number one, if you've fallen, you can get up. Lesson number two, remember, there's a function for every one of us in this thing called the church. Number three, remember this. God wants me and you to be faithful to Him because He's faithful to us. Amen. He wants us to do our duty that we have before Him. We found that place. God wants us to do our duty. Amen. Now, when you think about this, first of all, about doing your duty, there is a reality about this thing. What is the reality? Well, look at verse number 18. Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep, love them, and do you love me, and all this. Verse number 18, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, Jesus gets using that verily, verily. It's pretty serious. I mean, he's saying, listen, this is pretty serious. I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whithersoever thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Verse 19, and this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Woo. Here's the reality of it. You may fall and get up. You may find your place and your function in the church. But the reality of it is this. Hey, there might be some stuff in here that ain't going to be so sweet. There might be something in here that's going to hurt. There might be something in here that ain't going to be so good. I mean, the reality is it's going to cost you something to serve the Lord. That's the reality of it. I don't want to give anybody the impression, woo, honey, come in here, get saved, and your life is set. There is nothing wrong ever going to happen to you. You'll never be sick a day in your life. You'll have a bank full of money, live in a giant home, drive a fine car. Everybody will love you. That ain't getting it. Amen? I mean, that's not true. That's what a lot of folks want to try to tell you. But that's not the truth. He said, Peter, I'm going to tell you something. Listen very closely. As a young man, you did what you wanted to. When you get older and you serve me and this thing's about over with, somebody else is going to take over in your life. And what he was telling him is they're going to take you and you're going to be crucified because you're a follower of me. Now, don't that sound like a hallelujah time right there, right? I mean, not many of you, well, I ain't signing up for that. But Peter, I want you to know the reality. It will cost you something to serve the Lord. Now, I want you to know, he's saying, Peter, be faithful. Be faithful, even though it will cost you your life. Now, I'm sure Peter at that time is sitting there thinking, whoa, what have I gotten myself into? But aren't you glad that later on, Peter realizes every bit of that, and he knows that he's the Lord's. As a matter of fact, when it comes to this day, they talk about him stretching him out and putting him on a cross like they're going to do Jesus, or have done Jesus. And Peter is like, can I tell y'all something? I'm not even worthy to be crucified like my Lord was. And he asked them to crucify him upside down because he realized it's cost me something, but he said, it's worth it all. Amen. It's worth it all just to be his child. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, you got to realize this. I'm telling you, we need to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to us. We need to be faithful to him. Be faithful, but realize the reality of it. Not only do you see that he talks about the reality, he talks about the requirements. You see what he says? And when he had spoken this, in verse 19, he told him, this kind of death you're going to die. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, he looked him square in the eye, and he said, follow me. Amen? Follow me. Don't get sidetracked on worrying about all this stuff. Don't get all upset about what I've told you. Don't count anything. You know what Paul said? Said it many times. That Paul had said this in Acts chapter number 20. And I believe it's verse number 24. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He said, don't matter. They keep telling me if I go down here that I'm going to die. He said, y'all think I'm worried about that? There's been famous Christians throughout history that you know, they threatened them. And many of them, they took their lives. And they threatened them. I know they said one night Billy Sunday got up in a meeting, and the whole bunch of mean folks. Billy Sunday preached against drinking. He preached against liquor. He preached against beer. He'd get out there and preach about that stuff. And that buddy, he'd just tear them up, you know. And all the bad folks got together, and they said, we ought to just kill that preacher. Now, there's one guy said, let me at him. I'll kill him. So they gave him a gun. He went into the church service that night. Billy Sunday's up here on the pulpit preaching, and this old guy stands up with a gun out of the crowd, stands up and points it up to the pulpit, and Billy Sunday gets and leans out and looks at him and says, sir, repent or perish. The guy fired the gun. It missed him. He started crying, threw down the gun, run to the altar, and got saved. Amen? I'm just telling you, friend, you got to realize, hey, there's some stuff coming down the pike at you, but God's going to be faithful. God will take care of you. God says, follow me, even in the face of death. Amen? I'm just telling you, hey, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to do that. So, follow me, Jesus says to him. He looks him right dead in the eye. And then finally, he talks to him and says, look, don't worry about any kind of silly rivalries. Then it says in verse 20, you know, Peter turned about and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's talking about John himself. He saw him, and Jesus sent him, said to, or Peter sent him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, ain't none of your business what I'm on. Do you know what? It ain't none of my business what God's doing with any one of you. And it ain't your business what he's doing with me. There'd been times I've seen preacher get up and somebody said, boy, if I'd been up there preaching, I wouldn't have said that. And the preacher said, yeah, that's why God put me here and you're out there. Amen. Because I would say it. I'm just telling you, man, you've got to, don't. I can't get all up in your business. It ain't my business to be in your business. My business is for me to try to take care of mine. That's pretty tough. Amen. But I'm just telling you, hey, he'll be faithful to you if you'll be faithful to him. And then he looked at him one more time and said, what's that to you? What is that? What are you worrying about that for? Why is that an issue? Why, Peter, what are you doing? That's what I'd have said. What are you doing? And then he looked at him again and said, you follow me. Follow thou me. Amen? And I'm so thankful that when you read on over into the book of Acts in chapter number 2, you see how Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he began to preach. And 3,000 folks got saved that day. Why? Well, I think Peter finally got some things straightened out. There was that public service, if you will, that public ceremony there, and there was that public reconciliation that happened between Jesus and Peter, and it wasn't for the Lord's purpose. It was more for Peter than anything. And God said, I want to use you. What I'm saying is that he wants to use every one of us, and we let some of the silly, little, small, trivial, goofy things get in the way sometimes. But God still wants to use every one of us. And guess what? We have no excuses when we stand before him. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of some song this evening.